Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We just finished up our Echo Camp, which is our middle school camp, and man, they just had a blast in the presence of God, and it just was remarkable. In fact, today I'm going to be talking to you about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. At the camp this year, 120 students were filled with the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? These are your kids, man. Listen, man, your kids go to camp. We're not playing kickball, baby. They're coming back with some power. I'll tell you, man, if there's ever been a time in the history of humanity that people need to be full of the power of God, it is right now. Absolutely right now. I want to talk to you today about something called the Bible calls being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another synonymous term would be the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this is a subject that for a lot of people is a little bit new to you. I know as a Catholic kid, I never heard anything about it. Didn't know it existed. And when I did find out about it, I don't have time to tell you my story, but I found out the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want you to understand today, is that I'm about to take you into the Scripture, take you five places very quickly in the book of Acts where this occurred. And as a Christian, you want to let the Word of God build your action and what you build your life on and what you believe and what you govern your life by. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit, most, again, don't have a full understanding. You understand the Holy Spirit is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three distinct personalities. So I don't understand that. Join the club. But I can give you a quick understanding of it. God is a triune God. Man is a tripart being. You are made, the Bible said you are spirit, soul, that's your reason realm, and body. So right now there are three parts of you. All you can see is one, but it's spirit, soul, and body coming together as one. That man is made in the likeness and image of God. Three part man, three part God, one. One man, three parts. I don't know if that helps you, but if it doesn't, you say I'm too bright to be helped by that way, well then you're just too bright. Bless your heart. So, but before I talk to you about the specifics of this Bible experience that every Christian should have, Jesus said this. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, that they which believe on Jesus should receive. Jesus said that they which believe on him should receive. I want to talk to you about two distinct purposes to be baptized with the Holy Spirit today. There are many subtexts under this, but I want to talk to you about the two main ones. And the first one is this, to be supernaturally empowered to build the kingdom of God. That's the first reason you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second one is for your personal well-being or edification. The reason most people never get to number two is they never start with the proper one. Remember this, every scripture, everything you read in the Bible, for the most part, was not written to an individual. There are some exceptions. But the bulk, particularly the New Testament that was written to the church at large. Almost every scripture you read in the New Testament that Paul wrote was about the kingdom of God expanding. Now, you can apply those personally, and it's absolutely biblically sound to do so. But when you put yourself above the kingdom, you've got it backwards. And the reason most people never experience the power of God in their everyday life is God isn't first. His kingdom isn't first. And as a result, they never experience the full orb of the power of God in their life. And I want to help you to understand how to actually do that today by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give you the opportunity to actually receive the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you some instruction as we get toward the end. I'm going to take you through five quick places in the book of Acts very, very quickly to show you what happens when somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first is in Acts chapter 2. This is right after Jesus has ascended. And we'll read the pretext for that here in a moment. And the Holy Spirit falls on the early church. And there's 120 of them. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Says this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now when you start talking about speaking in tongues, people get weirded out. They're like, tongues? You can bring out the snakes or something? People get weirded out by it. Can I encourage you as a Christian? Don't get weirded out by God. Get weirded out by the devil. Get weirded out by the crazy, stupid, disgusting, broken things to destroy, kill, and maim you in life from the pit of hell. That's what, if you want to get up, get messed up over that. Don't get messed up over God. And remember, this is God the Holy Spirit, not divine wind or some kind of cafeteria thing. I'll take this part of God. That this is God we're talking about. I'm not talking to you about this kind of cafeteria God. I'll take a little bit of you, God, here. Nah, Holy Spirit part of God. Nah, I don't like you. Too bright for you. I went to college. And then I'm too educated for this glossolalia. That's the Greek word, you know, for tongues. And you're too educated. And I tell you, when your education exceeds the Creator, you've not been educated. You've been indoctrinated. And don't you think that's neutral. Don't you ever think an opinion you have about God is neutral. Everything's spiritual. If you are, Jesus said, you'd be for me or you'd be against me. He didn't say be, I'd be. Say that. You're for me or against me. There's no neutral. Any beliefs you have that are contrary to who God is didn't come from some neutrality. It came from a kingdom that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. And in this culture, it does it under the name of intellectualism. We're quite advanced in our culture, really. Take a peek around you. A nation rotting in front of us. Can't solve the most basic problems. With money coming out of our ears and people that are geniuses. And you have, it's insanity. I just want to encourage you. When I talk to you about this today as a Christian, I'm talking to you about God and what He wants to do in your real life every day today. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak. Say it out loud. They began to speak. So who did the speaking? They or the Holy Spirit? They spoke. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they spoke in a tongue unknown to them. This is not a tongue that they learned. This is a language. In fact, the Bible refers to other tongues as either the tongues of angels or the tongues of men. And I remember years ago we were prior to a service. Vicki East, who's our worship leader now, was back when we were all the way over on Mystic Pine Trail. They were in a side room praying before they were going to come out and lead you in worship. And Raj was on our team, and Raj is from India. And Vicky's just beginning to worship God in the back, and they begin to worship God in other tongues, because the Bible said when you pray in other tongues, you give thanks well. And Vicky was just quietly worshiping God in other tongues. Raj said to her, he said, Vicky, you just perfectly worship God in my language. See, you say, well, I don't quite understand that. Go to the head of the class. A God that fits in your head ain't much of a God. I need to understand everything, and you got a long wait. Because I can promise you this, you need to understand everything. You don't even understand you. So, yes, I do. Ask your spouse. Well, that's another subject for another day. I'll stop meddling and get back to the Bible. Acts 10. These are the two initial outpourings of the Holy Spirit on the Jew and the Gentile. Remember this. The Jew didn't think God would do anything for the Gentiles. So God moves supernaturally to tell Peter to go preach the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, just so you know, this is in the Bible. It was Cornelius' family of the Italian band. It's in the Bible. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but I believe his last name was Nuso, but I can't prove that. But you can't disprove it either. And Acts 10, Peter's preaching to them with fear and trembling because he's in the house of a Gentile. But it's a whole story how he got there. It's amazing. Acts 10, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all them who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers who had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed that God had poured out his gift. Say it out loud, gift. Gift of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the evidence in Acts 2, the evidence in Acts 10, the initial outpouring was so recognizable, they said, we know they've been filled with the Spirit, for we heard them speak with tongues like we did. So this is in the Bible. He said, well, is it for me today? We'll get there. Other than the two initial outpourings, which is when God actually expressed his will, both of the Jew and the Gentile, the other three places in the book of Acts, you find people having to willfully ask and receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's where we are today. Let me show you the first one in Acts chapter 8, which shows you a distinction and a delineation between being born of the Spirit or receiving Jesus as your Savior, being baptized in water, and then being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's actually three or four days in between the two events. I want you to see this as a separate and a distinct and subsequent experience to making Jesus the Lord of your life. You say, well, Pastor, you mean if I've given my life to Jesus, are you saying I don't have the Holy Spirit in me? No, I didn't say that at all. The Bible said when you give your life to Jesus, you are born of the Holy Spirit. So absolutely, the Holy Spirit dwells in you as a Christian. But there is a separate, distinct, and subsequent experience to your salvation called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Baptized simply means to be fully immersed. And let me show it to you in Acts chapter 8. Philip had just gone down to Samaria, preached a citywide revival. People were born again, gave their life to Jesus, water baptized. Let's pick it up in Acts 8:14. And now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received, past tense, the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he, not it, not the wind, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd given their life to Christ, water baptized. So then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, you either have to be religiously brainwashed or dishonest to say that those are not two separate experiences. There are days between them. And it clearly says they had been born again, even baptized in water, yet they had not, the Holy Spirit yet had not fallen upon them. And it was administered through the laying on of hands and prayer. That's another thing people get worked up about. Now, I understand people that don't know Jesus, but Christians. That laying hands thing, that freaks me out. Don't let the Bible freak you out. Do you know one of the six foundational principles of the doctrines of Christ is the doctrines of Christ? How many of y'all think your doctrines ought to be the doctrines of Christ? Right? I'm a Christian, right? Do you know one of them is called the doctrine of the laying on of hands? Do you know that you lay hands on people and according to the Word of God to bless them, to pray for the sick, to separate people into ministry, and to pray for people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Those are four reasons you should lay hands on people and pray. So I don't like that. You probably as a Christian shouldn't talk about the doctrines of Christ and say, I don't like that one. Do you understand how easily we can get twisted in our heads? Why don't we just submit to God and say, I want all you have. I'll accept that you're God and I'm not. So I'm not sure. Ask your spouse again. They'll tell you you're not God. Acts chapter 9. This is when the apostle Paul was filled with the Spirit. Now in Acts 8, apostles prayed. So people have said, well, I would agree that that's the case, but only apostles can do this. Okay. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 9. Paul, who was known as Saul of Tarsus, who had was persecuting Christians, gets knocked off his horse through a blinding light. He is literally blinded by that light. He can't see. And Jesus begins to talk to him. And he said, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Isn't that great? It's like, who are you, Michelle? It's like, you know, he's... And he goes into the city and he's totally blind. The glory of that light, Paul later said, blinded him. He still could not see. And he's given his life to Jesus. He went to arrest Christians and now he's one of them. God gives a visitation to a man named Ananias who is a disciple, not an apostle, not a pastor. He is a disciple or follower of Jesus. And he tells Ananias to go pray for Paul. And let's see what happens. Acts 9, verse 17. Ananias went his way, entered into Paul's house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you a question? How important do you think it might be to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That other than getting his sight back, the first thing that God said Paul needed to do his mission was what? To be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, but it doesn't say he spoke with tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said to the church at Corinth, which was the most tongue-talking church in the world, so much so, Paul said, you guys, people think you're crazy because they misused it, like people misuse this today. That's why most people run from this. They see the misuse rather than the genuine. Paul said, listen, you guys, people think you're nuts, but let me tell you, I speak with tongues more than all of you. But he said, but I'm going to show you how to do this decently and in order. So we see now four places, right, just in the book of Acts. It's scattered throughout the epistles. Let me show you the fifth one in Acts 19. The Bible said, while Paul was at Apollos, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Now he thinks they're believers. And he asked them, listen to the first question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's the first question he asked. Not the second, not the fourth. He thought he met Christians. He said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? First question. And they said, we've never even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. Paul asked, well, then what baptism did you receive? He said, John's baptism. Paul said, well, John, he baptized with the baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe on the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now he's told them about Christ. They've received Christ. They're baptized in water. Next verse. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now I've shown you five places in the New Testament where people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant and spoke with other tongues. Three of them were willful, choosing to receive, hands laid on you. Two were initial outpourings, one on the Jew, one on the Gentile. But here's the deal. Why? Is it just to have this weird thing happen where you speak in a language you don't know? It just seems weird to me, Pastor John. And it would to me too. Look, I grew up as a Catholic kid. And when I came to a church like this, I thought you people were crazy. It's like, don't you know, man, God, it's church, man. Calm down. Y'all act like God's alive or something. Man, I mean, I can go to a ball game and act like a nut, but I can't come and worship God. I mean, you people make me nervous. God's not nervous. God's not old. He's not nervous. God is alive. And I'll tell you, coming into a place where people treat him like he's alive and worship him, man, Jesus said, if you don't worship me, the rocks will cry out. Man, He's God. I want to look at the first reason. Here's the first reason. Every Christian should be baptized with the Holy Spirit because you need to be supernaturally empowered to build God's kingdom. The reason most Christians never experience God's power in their life fully is they never put God's kingdom first in their life. It's not first in their talent. It's not first in their time. It's not first in their money. And more and more statistically, it's not even first in their week. When I was a Christian early, I mean, talking just 25, 30 years ago, the church I went to, we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the guy preached for an hour and 20 minutes, and he spoke five times the speed of a normal human being. And he was a monster teacher. And my whole life was changed. I went to church more in a week than the average Christian goes in six. Because Christians even now have learned that other things are more important than Jesus said, come first day of the week. Put me first in your family. Make me first, not second. Yeah, but little Jimmy has to learn how to pitch. Pitching ain't going to make Jimmy a good husband. Ain't going to make Jimmy walk with God. Let Jimmy learn to pitch on Sunday afternoon or Monday. But don't put anything before God. Every Christian is called to do something great for God corporately. Most of us said the Bible written was not written to me as an individual, but to the church at large. That's why coming in August, starting Monday, August 5th, we'll have 21 days of prayer and fasting. In January, we do it for our devotional lives, and the whole devotional is written about your personal devotional life. But in August, it's 21 days of kingdom building, fasting, and prayer. And we'll give you, and all the details are on the website. We've written a devotional, a prayer guide for you, your kids. And we'll talk a little bit about fasting next week, just a little bit, just to help you understand what that means. 21 days, we're going to pray out the kingdom of God expanding in the earth and praying over ministries that we support around the world for 21 days. Put the kingdom of God first in your life. And let me show you why. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is risen from the dead. I want you to get this picture. Risen from the dead. And his disciples are with him. Now imagine. Now these are men that have been under Roman tyranny for their whole life. And they are waiting for God to wipe out the Romans and take over the kingdoms of this world. They think Jesus has come. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. Buddy, somebody's going down. We're talking about God in the flesh setting up his kingdom. And I'm on the team. And Jesus says something to them that he's trying to get them to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, and they want to go back to what they think God should do. Listen, look, so you need the context. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This is right before Jesus is going to ascend into heaven after the resurrection. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, everyone say eating. Jesus was not a spirit. He said, I'm a flesh and blood, risen from the dead, bone body. He ate with them. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Everyone say the gift. The gift my Father promised. This is the promised gift of the Heavenly Father, which you've heard me speak about. Jesus taught a lot about the Holy Spirit. He said he will show you things to come. He will reveal the things that I've said to you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you into all truth. He said, you've heard me talk about him. For John truly baptized or immersed in water, but in a few days you will be baptized or fully immersed with the Holy Spirit. And then they ignored it. So when they met together, they said, Lord, at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the dates and the times the Father set by his own authority. Here's what Jesus is saying. God the Father wants to fill you with the Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem till this occurs. And they're like, when are you setting up the kingdom? When are you going to set up? Because we're on the team. We're tired of this. When are you setting up the kingdom? See, they think Jesus is going to set up a kingdom now. And he said, no, guys. When this happens, you don't even understand. It's beyond your understanding and authority. It's not going to happen in the timing you think. And he went right back to the subject. And he said this in verse 8. But you will receive power. Everyone say power. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. And that's speaking to you and me. The word power in the Greek is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It means miraculous, violently mighty power or abundant ability. He said, I am going to endue you with a power from on high to empower you to be a witness for me. The word witness is what it seems it would mean, is to testify in a courtroom. But if you study the Greek word out, you'll see it actually means the power to witness even unto martyrdom, to die as a witness. Now, it's easy to think of what death, martyrdom means in a physical sense. But if you're going to fulfill the will of God for your life, you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit to die to the culture, to die to all the voices in your head, to die to the internal voices inside you and the internal pictures telling you lies about God, lies about you. He said, but you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Every Christian is called. Every Christian is called to do something together, not just alone, but together great for God. Now, I want you to get the picture. Jesus is speaking to about 100 people. That's it. He's about to do something that is unimaginable. They don't know it's coming. He's about to finish and give them a declaration and a command and then leave the planet and ascend to heaven. They don't see this one coming, guys. But Jesus did say, it's good for me to go. It's expedient that I go. If I don't go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit won't come to you. You need his presence more than you need mine here. And nobody would have believed it. I wouldn't have believed it. And Jesus is about to be taken out of their presence. Now listen, 100 people. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the entire world and preach the gospel to every creature. For he that will believe and will be baptized will be saved. But he that believes not will be damned and go to hell. This is a heaven and hell issue. I command you. I commission you. You go get me the whole world. He's telling that to 100 people. Then he left. Talk about delegation. Boop. A cloud came. He's ascending in the cloud. And the Bible said they were doing this, looking up. See, we think looking up, Hosanna! No. They were like this. Bible said an angel appeared. And now they're looking at the angel. Angel said, this same Jesus you saw ascend will return the same way. Cool. He's coming back. They thought he was coming back tomorrow. If you read anything in the New Testament, you see over and over again the early church, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I'm coming. He told us he's coming back. They had no idea the seasons of the times. Don't be so worried about when Jesus is returning. Make sure that you follow his plan while you're in this body in the earth. He's coming. He will come. He will return. And just like they, I would tell you, we don't know the times and the seasons. Exactly. But can I tell you this? You can know how to yield to God. Now think of this. Jesus left a worldwide commission with 100 people, mostly uneducated people, people that nobody wanted or valued. They didn't have any kind of wire communication, telephones. They didn't have printing press. They didn't have air travel. They didn't even have a vehicle. The fastest way they could get somewhere was on a horse or a donkey. And inside of a decade, they had turned the world upside down. How did that happen? By divine power. He said, I endue you with power from on high to be a witness for me. When people ask Michelle and I about the history of this church, how did this happen? I can tell you it's the same story. Endowment from power from on high and what God can do with a people that will trust him and let his power work in their life is amazing. It's amazing. And we just started. what we're about to see happen in the Northeast, and I believe with all my heart, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, please listen to that message. As I talk to you about the mission of this church, and I know God has called us. I know He's called us as a church to literally help be a catalyst to another great awakening in the Northeast. So how can that ever happen? Can I tell you, for 25 years, I didn't know. I kept proclaiming it because I knew God had put it in my heart. But for 25 years, I just said, I have no idea how that's going to happen. Because it can't happen by human flesh. But can I tell you that what God has begun to do in the last, literally, months, has been so overwhelming to me how He's bringing it together. So supernaturally. None of it's been initiated by me. Y'all ever put popcorn in the microwave and it's going, and you're hungry, you're like, oh, come on, man, pop. And you'll hear pop, pop, pop. And then all of a sudden it's pop, 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 and it's done. 25 years, all I heard was, I didn't even get a pop. I did, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. I just got a call on Saturday. Or was it Friday? I believe Friday. Connecting me to an event that I'm going to be sitting down with just a handful of guys. And they asked me, said, why'd they ask you to come? It has nothing to do with friendship. And they're really not my friends. I barely know these guys. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit wants you somewhere and needs you to be connected in His body for a purpose, He'll do it. I mean, I really like John Maxwell. Y'all know who John Maxwell is? How many of y'all, he's like written all kind of New York Times bestseller books on leadership. He's the best known leadership writer in the nation. And I just kind of called and said, we'd like you to come and hang out with John for a little bit. Just there's going to be about 8 or 10 of us. And there's some other guys. The other folks are coming. I'm thinking, wasn't that, yeah, will you come? I said, yeah. But here's the deal. It has nothing to do with favor and something beneficial to a person. It's a God thing so that God can do something great in the Northeast. I'm telling you, we have God's plan and we're going to follow it by the power of the Spirit. But you have to understand that that's why the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Kingdom first. The second is personal edification. And I want to talk to you just for a minute. Edification, building you up. Let me read it to you from 1 Corinthians 14:2. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, it's primarily a devotional gifting, if you will. There is a public usage for it, and I don't have time to get into that, but that should only be done when it could be interpreted. Now, that's happened here, and we do that often when we pray over people. We'll have a message in tongues, an interpretation, not translation, interpretation. That's a whole other issue. But the primary use of a person filled with the Holy Spirit speaking with other tongues is devotional. It's an ability to do things that you could not do on your own and have things happen to you could not do on your own. And let me read it to you in 1 Corinthians 14. And just so you know, Corinthians was written to kind of correct this church who had gotten crazy with this stuff. And it's still the same today. That's why many people push away from these things. 1 Corinthians 14:2 said, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit," that's a synonymous term with speaking in tongues, "in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. But he who prophesies," that's speaking in your own language, by inspiration, "will speak to edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." Now listen to this. "But he who speaks in a tongue will edify or build himself up. But he who prophesies will build up the church." I want you to understand that when you're Spirit-filled, you can learn how to just pray in the Spirit. So what do you mean, pray in the Spirit? Well, look what Paul went on to teach them. Same chapter, verse 14. Paul said, "For I will pray in a, if I pray in a tongue, listen now, my spirit prays." Now get that. Most of our prayers come out of our head, and that's okay, our understanding. You see, you contact this world in your three-part being, your body, your spirit, soul, and body. Your body contacts the world through your flesh. You contact the realm of reason and emotion through your soul. And you contact God through your spirit or inward man. Praying and speaking in tongues before God is your spirit praying. Now listen to this. "For if I pray in a tongue," pray in a tongue, it's a prayer time, "my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will, this is a choice, I will pray with my spirit or in other tongues. I'll also pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit. I can worship in other tongues. And then I'll sing songs I understand with my mind. It needs to just be a part of your devotional life. Do you know the Bible said that sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray? The Bible doesn't tell you we don't know how to pray because he teaches us how to pray. But it said we don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray. If you ever face something in your life, you don't even know what to pray. If you haven't, God bless you, but you haven't lived very long then. But do you know what he said? Sometimes he said, often we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but listen to this. But the Spirit of God himself will make intercession through you with groanings which cannot be put into articulate speech. You can pray out of your spirit divine secrets over a situation that is impossibility wrapped all around it. And you don't even know how to pray in your own mind. And you could just say, Father, I come to you, and you begin to pray in the Spirit. What an amazing devotional gift. And by the way, when you do that, the Bible said you edify yourself. The word edify is what we would use for a dead battery being charged. It's being edified. When you pray in the Spirit, it's like putting jumper cables to the power of God into your inward man. A couple, just a while back, I was, you know, as a pastor, you know, you do this for a long time. Anybody lives life at any level. You take a lot of hits in life and stuff that you can control, some you can't. And just some things had begun to happen. And Michelle and I were just like, man, this is uphill, man. And just stuff that, I can't go into now, but it's not simple. So I gave a good friend of mine a call, Gerald Brooks, and he's a pastor to pastors. And sometime next year, I think next summer, I'm going to get him here. And you guys will get to hear Gerald. He's just an incredible guy. But I said, Gerald, I said, man, this is uphill right now. And Michelle and I just want to talk to somebody. Help me. And you know what he said to me? He said, John, the only way I make it is if I spend at least 20 minutes a day praying in the Holy Spirit. He said, let me tell you why. And this is something he taught me. This is just a month or two ago. Boy, how helpful. He said, John, you know, when you go to bed at night, your body rejuvenates and it rests. He said, but we live in a world today that our minds never rest. They're never at rest, ever. There was a time in our culture when you were forced to rest your mind. There was nothing else to do, but our minds are constantly on. He said, but when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible said your mind is unfruitful or at rest. He said, and when you're praying in the Spirit, the power of God that's coming into your inward man, edifying you, will restore your soul. In the epidemic of anxiety and depression in our culture, he said, this is a solution for so many. I'm not diminishing the need for counseling or medication, okay? Please don't misinterpret what I just said. But all the counseling in the world and all the medication in the world may never deal with the root of a mind that needs to be put at rest by the power of God. Praying in the Spirit does that to your mind. And I don't know if you live in the same world I do, but that's priceless to me. So as I lead you in the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand that's what we're talking about. Power to be a witness. The ability to live a life being edified by the very power of God in your everyday life. But here's the final question as we pray. Is this for today, or did this pass away? Because that's what a lot of people believe. When the last apostle died, this all stopped. And I know that sounds good, but it's intellectually not very, very sound. Because John, they say, is the last apostle of Jesus to die on the Isle of Patmos at about 100 years old. So that would mean that people could be being prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're being gloriously filled through the laying on of hands, as we just saw. Spirit, oh, God, move, God, move. And over on the Isle of Patmos, John dies, and they go, not for you. Why? Well, John died. How many of y'all know God isn't dependent on the death of an apostle, but the death of a Savior? So here's what I want you to get. Let me read it to you. In Acts chapter 2, after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where they were filled with the Spirit, spoke with other tongues. They spoke with other tongues, not God. They spoke with other tongues. And then Peter preaches the gospel, and thousands come to Christ. Listen to what he says just prior to giving the invitation to receive Christ. In Acts 2, verse 38. And Peter replied to them, this is the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift. Say it again, the gift. It's going to be important when I pray for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, the promise of the Father is for you. Now, if he stopped there, then that one generation. Well, we know it's at least two. He said, for your children. That's two generations. And then he said this, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, I don't know about y'all. How many of you are in the same kingdom got the same salvation they got? He said, for all. The power to be a witness and to be personally edified will be needed till Jesus returns. You will never live a day in your world where you don't need the power of the Spirit in your life. But you have to choose to receive this promise. Just like receiving Christ, you have to choose this. Normally, we're kind of winding out the service right about now. And we're not going to be a whole lot longer. But I would ask you for about 5 more minutes before we move toward the actual being able to leave longer than normal. If you could perhaps just consider 5 more minutes, for God to do something great in your life. But, we're creatures of habit. So I just want to let you know I respect your time. But I hope you respect God more than 5 minutes. And let him do something great in your soul. Because I want you to receive from God today. I don't want you to learn a subject. Oh, that was a good message, preacher. I want you to leave having received from God. That's what today is about. But one of the main reasons people cannot receive the Holy Spirit is because they think they have to earn this. Well, I'm not right. I'm not ready yet. I got too much messed up in my life. God, let me get myself together without your power so I can receive your power to get my life together. Let me share with you one little story and then we're going to pray. Oh, years ago, before this church started, Michelle and I were speaking in Walterboro, South Carolina. I used to speak in churches before we went overseas as missionaries. And I was inviting people forward to be prayed for the Holy Spirit. In the 35 years of ministry, I've prayed for, 10,000 people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a marvelous privilege. And I was praying for people, and there was a man who, when I went to pray for him, I was interrupted in my heart not to pray for him. And the Holy Spirit, through what the Bible calls a word of knowledge, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, brought me a revelation about his life privately. And just a fragment or a word. And here's how I can explain it to you. Like you just read two paragraphs like that, and you know. And I knew it was from the Holy Spirit, so I stopped. Now, this is kind of pitiful because I was at the time, 28, 7, and I thought he was this old dude ready to die. He was my age, I think. He was like 58 or 59. I thought, poor guys, he'll be dead in 2 years. Not just a kid, Hey, when you're in your 20s, somebody's 58 years old, they're like, you're going to die soon. Jesus loves you, but you're just go die, boy. You're young. So I thought he was an old man, but he was a young guy, probably in his late 50s. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to my heart. He said he was divorced many, many years ago. And it was, I come to find out he had cheated on his wife multiple times, destroyed his family, destroyed his kids, and he could never forgive himself. And for over 25 years, he had come to a place of prayer asking God to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Listen now, for 25 years, waiting, maybe somebody can make God do this and make me receive because I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. And so before I prayed for him, I said, sir, obviously I've never met you. Your pastors would never tell me about you because he doesn't know I'm about to talk to you. I've never met you in my life. So I said, I could miss this, but I don't think I am. So many years ago, you were divorced and you've never been able to walk past it. And as a result, you're here right now begging God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But all you can remember is that. And when I said that, he just started, when I say cry, ugly cry. I mean uncontrollable sobbing. And where I couldn't say anything, he was uncontrollable, just sobbing and sobbing. He finally calmed down a little bit. I said, do you understand that this is a gift? That you cannot earn this wonderful privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit? That God desires to fill you with the Spirit with everything that's ever happened in your life right now. And because it was a supernatural move of God, he actually believed it. Even though he could have read the Bible and found that out. And as he's standing there crying and crying, I never even got to pray for him. I barely was about to raise my hand to pray for him. And he's crying and he lifts his hands. And now he's just as loud as he was crying. He's praising God in other tongues. Just worshiping God, gloriously filled with the Spirit. The reason most people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One, they're ignorant. They don't understand what I just taught you. Or two, they think, well, I'm not spiritual enough for this. I made too many mistakes, Pastor John. I'm on my 15th chance. I don't deserve another chance. Can I give you a hint? You and I, we didn't deserve our first chance. Get that? Listen to me. We didn't deserve our first chance. All of it's mercy. So in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me, please, in prayer? And I'll give you instruction as we kind of wind down today. Father, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you. The privilege of being filled with the Spirit for your people. Oh, how great you are, how good you are. Lord, there are many in this room that, and even watching online, that have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know you desire to do that for people today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, before I go any further, so I know just how to instruct you by the amount of people that we're going to pray for. So, Pastor, that's me. I want, before I leave today, to be filled with the Spirit according to the Scripture and gloriously worship God in other tongues to the glory of my God, powered to be a witness, edified on a daily basis by this marvelous gift. Pastor, I want you to pray for me today. I want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I just simply want you to raise your hand where I can see it so I know how many people generally I'll be praying for. Just do it high so I can just kind of a general feel. Okay, wonderful. You can put your hands back down. Let me give one further invitation and then we'll move back over to this. We'll worship God in our giving and we'll pray for folks after we're dismissed. If you are here though today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not asking you if you're a good person or went to church. That's fine if you are. But that won't make you a Christian. Your sins will be paid for. Mine will be paid for. Either on your own or they'll be paid for by a Savior. If you've never received Christ or you're not sure, I'm not talking about a sacrament of a church. No church sacrament can make you a Christian, including this one. No church membership, including this one. Only by receiving Christ willfully and openly. He only comes by invitation. If you've never opened your heart to receive Christ or you're not sure, say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer this morning. I want to receive Jesus into my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. Just simply raise your hand high where I see it and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. One last moment. Let me look around. Thank you. Just want to make certain. If you're not yet, raise your hand one last second. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. If you raise your hand or you should have, please pray this out loud when you hear it. We'll all pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. But let me tell you how we're going to do this, because I want to do it decently.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.